Welcome at the Derwent Valley. We have finally arrived. We are here. Woo! Sorry, guys, to hold you up. Yeah, it's not my prophecy shirt, but it'll do for this morning. Hey, what we're doing with Greg Jones next week, Greg is he's a top bloke, and he'll be preaching here in the morning, and he's going to be preaching at our PM service. But I've just talked to Greg about just opening that service up and just letting Greg go for it with prophecy and ministry, and you know, he's in his real zone with that, and he'll take that really seriously. So I just encourage you to be there for both services. But you know, that Sunday, if you don't normally come to a Sunday night, just come along, and you'll actually, if it's not something you're even that familiar with or comfortable with, Greg does that in a very, you know, sensitive way, and it'll inspire you with that. So it's going to be a great service to be at. So there's actually lots I would like to say, and I haven't got time to say it all. But I just want to really encourage us with this series, God, Money and Me. I just feel that it's much more than money. Yeah. What the principle of it is are you living the life that you're called to live, or are there other things that are actually directing your life? In other words, are you going where God has asked you and called you, and you know where he's calling you to go, or are you sort of dictated by circumstances, by things that feel like they're out of your control and are making the calls in your life? And I reckon all of us could relate to that at some level or other. And the reason that Jesus actually spoke quite a bit about money is that he knew that if we could actually get some of that right, that it would actually require us submitting to God in all things and allowing him to be the one that directs our life. And then so many other parts of our life would actually start to work and come under his plan and his direction. So as we've done this series, today is the one that wraps it all up. But what I want to encourage you to do, we've actually taken this material from Paul de Jong's series, God, Money and Me. And this is the book that he's written that goes with it. So all the things that we've spoken about in this series, the principles are in this book. So there's a little more detail than what we've actually given you on Sunday mornings here. If God speaks to you, or even if he hasn't, maybe he could, I think that you should actually get yourself a copy of this book. Because it's one thing to say, oh yeah, that series was good. There were some good ideas. I might do something about that. Or you can actually get a revelation and say, I am going to do something about that. I am going to see change in my life. Yeah. And you know what? Get the book and actually start to do that. One morning, about 10 years ago, I woke up and decided I was going to do something about the fact that I was about 20-odd kilos overweight. I'd been saying to myself for a long time, I will lose that weight. And one morning, I'd obviously been thinking about it, but I woke up and I hadn't spoken to Alex, didn't do anything else other than said, I'm doing a diet. And she was a bit sort of put out to start with, because it meant that I wasn't eating all the food that was in the house. I was sort of doing my own thing. Anyway, she got her head around it and she saw the benefits of it. And I lost about 20 kilos in a relatively short space in time. Now, why did that happen? It was because I decided that now was the time. Could I have done that before? Of course I could. But I actually made a decision and I went on that. If your finances are not where you feel they need to be, or where they'd like to be, or there are things that are not happening in your world, you know, you can actually think, well, it could change. Or you can think, you know what? I am going to take some steps about doing something about that. When should you do that? When the new year starts? Well, it'd be a good time. But you know what? I guarantee if you defer it, if you put it off to the new year, you won't do it. But even if you didn't start some of these things till then, if you got the book and actually started to think about it and worked out how you were going to do it, you've actually made a commitment to doing that. See, the power of what we've done is not going to be the information. As we prayed this morning in our pre-service prayer, The power of it is in the revelation and a decision based on that revelation. So let's decide that we're going to do that. So, you know, here in Hobart, in the Derwent Valley, you see, this series is not just about the here and now. It's actually about seeing generational change. And perhaps one of the things that we need to come to terms with, and many of us who have been brought up in perhaps, you know, Baptist, Brethren, some of the more conservative sort of churches, is that we weren't brought up necessarily with a kingdom mindset. We were actually brought up with a strong sense of salvation in Jesus Christ, where we were brought up with a strong sense of the sovereignty of God. We were brought up with a strong sense that he was able to save us, that we needed to make some big decisions about the way that we followed and served and honored him, all really, really good things. But perhaps we actually had a thinking that some things weren't that important because Jesus was coming back soon, we wouldn't be here and the earth was going to burn. Do you hear me, Jeff Towns? So don't worry about the environment because it's going to burn. Now, if you read your Bible and you understand kingdom thinking, it actually doesn't say that. Yeah. And so that we know Jesus is coming back and we don't know exactly when. And the way that that's exactly going to happen, a lot of people can argue and talk about that, but I guarantee he is coming back, and I guarantee that big changes are getting closer, but that doesn't mean that we don't think generationally and we don't think kingdom. And that will change the way that you think about money. Because what we're talking about here is not just the here and now, it's actually about generations, it's about our children's children. Why are we actually enjoying a whole lot of things in this church? And you know, we know that we've got some things that we need to do going forward. But why are we where we are now? Because people that went before us thought beyond the here and now. And actually, we're enjoying the investment of what others made for us. And where we are now, it is our responsibility to think generationally about everything. And how we go forward, and that'll make a difference to how we think about money. So part five here is going to bring it all together. You know what? I think there are four components that are required to create a generational future, a future that gives lives generational impact. And the key verse in this series really has been 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. God is not challenged by your circumstances. You can feel challenged, you can feel discouraged, you can feel all sorts of things because of your circumstances, and that's a normal human condition. Don't worry about that. But the thing that you need to get a revelation of is God is not challenged by your circumstances. Maybe you're on the edge of bankruptcy. Maybe you're walking through that. Maybe you've got spiraling debt. Maybe you can't open the mail because you don't want to see the credit card statement. Maybe you don't want to answer the phone because somebody's calling about something, you know, and maybe you're not here, but there are other people that are in your world that are in that place. You know what? God is not challenged by that. We're challenged by that. And he has the grace to see that we have all sufficiency. You see, when it's not working, it's not that God has decided not to bless you because you're just one of those people. It's the fact that we need to align ourselves with the way that God works. See, if we want to walk in God's blessing, and I'm not talking about just suddenly you will make a few decisions and you start tithing and you'll be driving a Maserati. I'm not saying that. It'd be nice, yes. But what I am saying is that if you read your Bible, if you understand that to walk in God's blessing, that there is a pattern by which he has made it possible for us to experience that and walk in that. And it is a case of us aligning our thinking and our life with those principles and those things that he's put in place so that we can walk in that. That's why kingdom people are different, because they actually align themselves with kingdom principles and God's pattern. Imagine living in a place of all sufficiency because our parents and our grandparents had that revelation. And some have experienced some of that. I can even say that I'm a recipient of some great decisions and things that my grandfather did. My grandfather was a good businessman. And he's been able to bless his family. And I'm not sure exactly what he's thinking in his kingdom revelation of this, but I do know that he was thinking beyond the here and now, and he's been able to be a blessing to his children and his children's children. But imagine if we were all in that in a greater sense, where as generations go, that we're not struggling to get established, that we're actually building on what's already there, and the kingdom continues to go out because we're actually leaving an inheritance for our children's children. There is more to a financial pathway than just being generous, and even more than just merely tithing. You see, I think we've got to have all the components. See, concrete, if you've ever been involved in mixing up concrete, it's got a couple of three major components, really, or four major components. It's got the cement. Yep. See, the stuff that you stand on is not cement, that's concrete. Cement is just one component, and actually it's the smaller component in concrete. But the cement is actually the bonding agent, and it brings it all together. And then you add sand, and you add rocks, or you put it in together as gravel, and then you add water and you mix it all together and you put it where it needs to be, and it dries out and it becomes really strong, and it provides a foundation on which we build things. Yeah. And you see, if we can get these components in place and in the right quantities too, you see, if you mix concrete, if you put in too much cement, because I'm one of these people that I enjoy more. Like if when you're cooking, if it says turn the oven up to 160, I think, why not give it 200 and let's get this baby working. We were doing a barbecue last night and Alex went right off at me because I had the thing, I had it up going, Nice. Actually, Pastor Alex sends her apologies. She really wanted to be in church and had planned it that way. We've got to leave here, and I shouldn't even be telling you this story because I don't have time, but we've got a wedding to officiate at after this on Bruny Island, and so and she's actually the official officiator at this wedding, and because she's now a fully fledged pastor. And anyway, so she's just come back from an absolute epic bushwalk. She's done the South Coast track. And everyone said it would be hard. She knew it would be hard. She said if she knew how hard it was, she's really glad she did it. And she held up pretty well. But she said if she knew how hard it was, it probably would have put her off doing it because she may have thought she wasn't ready. Anyway, she got through and had a wonderful time. Got back yesterday. We had kids' birthdays and all sorts of things. So she's got to drop boys off at one place and get over to Bruny Island. So she just couldn't be here. So she sends her apologies. But, getting these things together in the right quantities. And in this book, I think the power of this coming together is what Paul calls the 10-10-10-70 principle. I just looked at my notes and realized they didn't add up. But the 10-10-10-70 principle. Yes, exactly. The four ingredients. So let's have a look at these ingredients. So the first one, the first ingredient, I really do think that's like the cement in concrete. This is the bonding agent. If you don't get this right, I think you can perhaps even mess around with some of the others, but if you don't get this one right, we're not able to get the others in place. And the first one is stewarding, or honouring God's sovereignty by tithing. And Pastor Dan did a great job of bringing us that teaching a few weeks back, but it's the foundation component. Tithing is a revelation that the first tenth belongs. Listen to this. The first tenth belongs to God. Yeah. Not the first tenth is a good thing to give to him. The first tenth belongs to God. You know what? When you're in business, you can get yourself in trouble, you know, making your GST payments. Because what happens is the government have very cleverly and nicely, and we all appreciate it so much, those of us that have been in business, has made every business in Australia a tax agent. So you are collecting money for them. The problem is it comes into your account, you know, with everything else, and it's just there. And really, you can use it as much as you like. You've just got to pay them when they want it. And if you don't get that right, you're actually using somebody else's money for your purposes, and then you've got to pay them, and it's like, ooh. I can see one of our accountants nodding. And sometimes, like tithing, if we can get that revelation that it's not your money. It's God's money. And some people mightn't enjoy me saying this, but if you want to grab a kingdom principle, that's exactly how it is. It says this in Malachi 3, 6 to 10. It says, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." When you think about tithing, let's get this in our heads. I am the Lord, I do not change. Old Testament, New Testament, wherever you want it, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are consumed, O sons of Jacob. And then he says, so obviously things weren't working for them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. How is it? Return to me what is mine and then I will return to you. But you, and then it says, will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, how? Well, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that there is not room enough to receive it. So people often say, hey, tithing, you know, that was Old Testament. That was law. We live under grace. We don't live under the law. That's absolutely true. But tithing predates the law. You can read about that. Open your Bibles. Have a look later on, Leviticus 27, 20 and 20 to 32. Have a look at before the law, when Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek. That was before the law. That was when he was essentially living under grace. He was living under God's blessing. And he shows us that tithing was a concept and it was activated in the law. And then you can have a look in Matthew 20, 23, and it's required after the law. So anyway, you can argue about that, but I believe that strongly. I've wrestled with that myself. I've had, you know, people have actually stood even on this pulpit in the past and suggested that, you know, we're under grace, so we don't have to give that tithing. Oh, yeah, we can give more than that. Anybody that says that, generally speaking, doesn't give more. If we want to walk in God's blessing, we've got to honor his pattern and return to him what is his. Not if it's convenient. Not if we feel good and warm and fuzzy about our local church. You see, and you might say, oh, well, you know, can I determine where my tithe goes? Can I do all this? You know, what God said, you know, bring it into my house. And you might say, oh, well, what about missionaries and all these other things that I want to support and bless? Well, can I do that with my tithe? I would say no, when you look at the principle. You get to do that with the 90. There's 90% that you do that with. You return to God what is God's into his house. And in our times, you know, back when the Old Testament was written, it was talking about the temple. We live beyond the law. But what has he done for his house? He has instituted his church, because his church is his plan for salvation and bringing people into the kingdom of God. And he wants to resource that. So he's put something in place that means that the church can just go gangbusters and have nothing stopping it, nothing restricting it, if we would just get that pattern and live by it. Basically, it comes down to is God in control or are you in control? Is God in control or is the spirit of mammon in control? You can go back and check some of those things. Our responsibility is to return to him that which is his. Generosity doesn't break the spirit of mammon. It's actually honoring God with what's his, and that allows his blessing to flow into everything else that we do. All right, the second component The first tenth is stewarding. The second tenth, that component is seeding. Is seeding is actually sowing. The power of seeding, and we've talked about this in this series, and we've looked at many scriptures around that. But seeding opens the door to harvest. And if there is no seed, why would you expect a harvest? We one of the things that we did in our backyard, in our house that we moved into a while back, and it was it's a big backyard, and it was going pretty wild. And there's still a pretty big area of it that's a bit wild. But what we did is we established a veggie garden in one section. And Alex and I are not great gardeners, and it's not my passion. And but we've now we're actually last night at our party, you know, we're eating beautiful crisp lettuce. We've got strawberries, not many, but we've got some strawberries growing. We've got beans shooting up. We've got tomatoes, you know, really growing out. We've got all this stuff going on in the garden. Why have we got it there? See, the rest of the garden is growing wild, but we've got this section that is producing fruit. Why is it doing that? Because we planted. We sowed. We sowed. We sowed seeds. We sowed seeds in that garden, and now, in such a short time, it is producing. God said to Noah when he went after the flood, and he says something that is quite profound, and it seems quite simple, but it's a promise, and we need to understand this. And it actually says to me that God is in control and will remain in control. While the earth remains, Noah, he said, these things to us here right now are always going to be part of it. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, don't you know that in Tasmania? Winter and summer in the one day in Tasmania. And day and night shall not cease. That's a pretty good promise at the moment, actually, with some of the things that are going on in our world. If you seed, you will harvest. He's basically said it's a principle. If you sow, you will harvest. Many things are beyond our control in life, but I don't think harvest is one of them. I think we complain. This morning, Pete spoke a word in our prayer time, and he talked about the fields being you know, ripe or white for harvest, as one version said, you know. And, you know, why are they there? Are seeds that have been sown. But if we want to harvest as a church, if we want to see a harvest of souls, if we want to see a harvest of finances and resource that take us into the future, well, sowing has got to happen. If we're thinking, okay, we're not seeing enough people responding and getting set free with the power of Jesus in our services, in other words, fruit, people coming into the kingdom, why is that not happening? Well, I would say it is actually to do with the seed that we sow. You know, what seeds are we all sowing during the week that would help somebody be here in church? What seeds are we sowing that actually builds currency and relationship that you can actually invite somebody to church? We've got to be sowing the seeds. If our finances are not going where we want to see them, are we sowing financial seeds? Galatians, it says this, and it's one of the verses that we've used a lot. It says, do not be deceived. God will be not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So don't let the enemy deceive you. You know, imagine sowing a carrot seed and expecting to get sweet corn. You know, you think that's ridiculous. But I think we do that. We do that in the church all the time. We somehow think we're a bit immune from principles because we sort of live under this grace. But you can say, you know what, my life doesn't feel that good at the moment. And it feels really negative, and life's hard. And I feel like I'm the bloke with the wheelbarrow. I've got the job in front of me, and I feel like I'm always pushing it uphill. And you can feel like that. Well, you know what, if you want a positive future, you've got to sow positive seeds. You've got to sow positive seeds. And you will find that even some of those seeds can turn around almost in moments. Yeah. When you're feeling like that, and you might be feeling like you haven't got anything, but you turn around and you say, Lord, what can I sow positive into my day, into my situation, into my world? What can I do? Your life will turn around. And I actually, you know what? I want to honor one of our champions in this church right now. And I can just see Julie sitting back there. And those that know Julie, Julie's life hasn't been an easy life. She's had a lot of challenges in many different ways. But Julie would be one of the most generous people I know. And I know for her, when times have been hard, what does she do? She sows positive seeds. When she's feeling alone, she sows love. And she sows generosity. And I would say that has made such a difference to her life. Because she sows. Yeah, what is this? Honor Julie in that. Want a financial future? Sow financial seeds. So, you know, the test is being diligent with what we sow. All right, third one is saving. Who likes saving? We're talking about kingdom thinking that actually goes beyond this generation. And I've said already, you know, that one of the problems is that thinking that Jesus is coming back, that we're going to be zapped out of here, you know, into hell with whatever is here. And we stop thinking generationally. Whereas I think we've got a saving is about thinking beyond us. It's about investing in things that we may not get a direct return on, but it's actually part of building the kingdom in the future. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man, in other words, a good person or somebody that's following Jesus, leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But listen, but the wealth of a sinner will be stored up for the righteous. Sometimes we just hope our future works out, don't we? You just hope it'll work out. Hey, you know what? I'm trusting God. I'm doing every stupid thing in the book, but hey, I'm trusting God. Legacy creates a generational echo. When we think about building a foundation, we're building it for generations that will follow. And this 10-10-10-70 principle is all about that. So what we've got to do is we've actually got to match, and I'll talk a little bit more about the amounts here. Don't be freaked out by this. So, you know, 10% is returning to God what is God's. Well, how about you say, all right, I'm going to, 10% of my income, I'm actually going to seed it. I'm going to sow it into things that will return. You know, return to the kingdom, return to others, and you know, return so that you're able to continue to build and be a blessing to others. And then, how about this? The next 10 is saving. 10% of your income is saving into the generations for a future. I'll unpack that a little bit more as we go here in the next couple of minutes. But that might not seem possible where you are right now. You know, you might think, well, gee, I can't survive on 100 of what I've got. I can't even tithe, let alone do anything else. And oh, imagine trying to sow and trying to seed. And how could I do that? Well, here's what I encourage you to do. Don't mess around with what is God's. Regardless of your debt levels or anything else, let's try and settle that and say, you know what? I'm going to tithe. It's one of the few areas of the Bible where God says, test me on this and see what happens. So say, yeah, I'm going to put that in place. But these others, he's pretty much given you freedom over the 90. But how about if you can't do 10, do 2%, do 3%, 4%, 5%, and start to get some principles in place where you might find you build that up over time. But just start with something. Yeah. Start with something. Start where you are. Yeah, regardless of your income, regardless of anything else, start where you are. Start somewhere, return the tenth to God's house and get his sovereignty over the rest. You know, match what you have returned with what you sow. Financial seeds create financial harvest, and then equal what I sow with what I save. And saving, we're not talking about saving for a holiday or a big screen TV. We're talking about saving that's going to go generationally. Saving is investing into what is your children's children would benefit from. Think about it in that way. Imagine where we'd be if we had others that were before us that had that. But let's not compromise the tithing. But here's the thing. If you're in what we've talked about already in this series as destructive debt, I think where you would start is that component of your saving has absolutely got to go into reducing that destructive debt. Because that's actually getting you in a place where you can set up for the generations to come. So, you know, maybe you've had a season and the credit card's gone right out of control. Well, I'm not saying, you know, start saving and don't pay off the credit card. I'm saying, you know, look at that component as going straight into reducing destructive debt in your world. And by that, we're talking about, you know, debt that depreciates. Yeah. For example, you know what? Generally speaking, in our world, if you put money into bricks and mortar or a house, it appreciates. And it's generally speaking a good investment, and for most of us that are not financial wizards and understand stock markets and things like that, but you know, bricks and mortar actually tend to appreciate over time. Mostly it doubles every 7 years, and it is something that will be there for your children's children in the most part. We don't know everything, but it's a good principle.
Yep.
So there you go, saving. You know, you're paying off your mortgage. Well, you put your saving into that. And you're actually creating a legacy when you do that.
Right, right. That's really good.
But it's not David Morse buying a new carbon bike. Because, you know what, I've spent plenty of money on carbon bikes, and, you know, I'll probably plan to do that a bit more, but I'm not going to get a return on my carbon bike. You know, I'll buy it and probably look after it, and you can sell it for reasonable money, but I'll sell it for less than I paid for it, guaranteed. Buy a car, as soon as you drive it out of the shop, you've lost money on it. You see, that's not what we're talking about here with the saving. That's your spending.
Yeah.
That's your spending. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, that he will also reap. You know what? A farmer collects the harvest, but he determines what its future is. You know, back before perhaps they people bought seed from seed suppliers and all that, what a farmer would do is he'd collect the seed and he wouldn't sell the whole thing off. He would actually retain some so that he had something to sow.
Right.
And he'd probably even retain some that actually was a buffer there in case that crop failed, that there was something into the next year. You know, he determined what he did with the harvest. And so often we think that we don't get to determine what happens with the harvest. Well, we actually do. So match what you seed with what you sow. The kingdom needs more money, and it needs money to break through and free people into God's presence. Imagine all the amazing things that the church has actually done in taking on global poverty. And we have as a church, and a lot of it's probably a little bit unheralded. We you know, we celebrate Bono and others that have done amazing things, and I applaud them. I think they've done fantastic. And I think it shows something that felt too big and too hard, and I believe God was on this, has we've had a huge impact on that. There's a long way to go. But imagine, you know what, we as the church should have been able to even stop that almost happening. We should have been able to respond because we had thought generationally and had what we need to be able to respond in that. God's sovereign and he knows, but you know, that's the principles that he's put in place that we can live by. Okay. If you need money to break through, you know, and free you into God's purposes, well, we need to put these principles in place. Number four, spending. Who likes spending? Who is the shoppers here? Woo! Just give me some shops and a credit card and woo! I think this one's perhaps, this is our major challenge, I'm sure. Because I think, generally speaking, we don't, in this society particularly, we don't understand delayed gratification, do we? We live in an instant culture. This morning, our two-year-old, he's two now, turned two yesterday. But, you know, we're getting ready to go this morning, different things are going on, and he came in to where I was, and, you know, he's pointing and making half noises at the big screen TV. So I knew this would happen. I put it on for him, and ABC Kids is on there. He watches that for a minute, and then he starts pointing at it again. And you know what? The kids don't want to watch. Our kids don't want to watch free-to-air TV. They want to control it. They want to determine what they will watch. At 2 years old, they would rather watch the YouTube, kids' YouTube, than anything else. So I put that on, and then he's pointing, wants to watch that. He wanted to watch BMXs doing all sorts of tricks and things like that at 2 years old. Because, you know, we live in an instant society. He hasn't got time. You know, when we were kids, I remember we'd come home from school and we lived in an area where we couldn't get good TV reception. And you know, Dad tried all sorts of things, putting up great big aerials and all sorts of stuff. And we would come home from school and we would try and watch Play School through the snow on the TV. You couldn't even see it. It was out there somewhere, but we'd sit there trying to see it through the snow. And then we knew that if we wanted to watch something really cool like Get Smart, you know, we had to wait. We had to wait for it to come on. You try to tell the kids that grow up now, you've got to wait till Peppa Pig comes on. No, I can actually watch it in church. You know, it's like, and that's all. That's how it is. It's not a point of carrying on about that, but I'm talking about the spirit and the culture of understanding delayed gratification that we live in, a very now generation. Significant spending. I think we should be able to spend significantly in all sorts of areas as a church, and even personally, you know, to make a difference. But significant spending requires that we live within predetermined boundaries. Significant spending requires us to live in predetermined boundaries. You know, decide what it is, whether it's 70, 80, 85, wherever you've got to, your starting point. But that's a predetermined boundary that you will put in place for your spending. Yep. Tomorrow's breakthrough requires today's restraint. Wow. Tomorrow's breakthrough requires today's restraint. And this is not only about money. You know what? You want breakthrough spiritually, and you're thinking about that. Well, you know, restraint actually means being able to stop and listen to God. It means able to get your Bible open. It means being able to get His input into your life. It actually requires some restraint somewhere so that we can actually see tomorrow's breakthrough. To break through, we need to institute restraint. You know, it's not wise to spend, and I've had to really battle with this. It's not been one of my strong areas. But you know what? It's not wise to spend money we don't have on depreciating assets. And we live, by and large, as a society, we live like that. And the next thing about significant spending is finding a way to increase our income. And you might think, well, my income's my income. What can I do? Well, you know what? What's God say? It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. You know, God has a plan if we're ready for it. And I think we've got to be careful that we don't feel like we're boxed in and we're finished and we can't do anything different. And I'm not saying all suddenly, but you know what? There are often ways, and if we start to allow God's creativity to come into our world, there are all sorts of things that we can do. I can remember when Alex and I were first married and she wasn't working, and I was getting paid from Dad the base auto electrician salary, and actually that was probably some of our most responsible time of managing our money when we were first married and in the first few years. But I remember when we worked it all out, we had just paid our rent and bought our food and did all that. There was nothing left. And I remember one of the things that I did, I asked Dad, could I go and work a Saturday morning? So Alex said, oh, I'm playing hockey and, you know, my hockey shoes are worn out. And it was like, we didn't even have money to go and buy her a pair of rubber-soled hockey shoes for the turf that she was playing on. And it was just like, you know what, sometimes you feel like you're trapped, but let's be creative and think about other ways that we can actually do that. Let God's creativity come in to what you're doing. Proverbs 13:22, it says, I read that. Verse 23 says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for a lack of justice, there is waste. Wow. Think about our world and it goes boom. Wow. Fallow is the untilled or undeveloped. We've all got those areas in our life. There are those areas around us. And let's not stop with what we know or where we are. And justice in that sense means ordinance or God's pattern. A farmer, doesn't just go out and randomly deal with all those things. A farmer's really intentional. He actually has to develop the fallow ground. He has to work at those things. He has to take it through. He actually has a pattern by which he works that enables a harvest to happen. You know, and I think our finances are the same. God's actually put a pattern where we can do that. He's not saying you're all going to be tycoons or that's going to be your thing, but he's actually saying, you know what? He wants us to live in whatever grace that he's graced us with, that we would have all sufficiency for all times, for every good work, for those things that come our way.
Yeah, come on.
Not saying that won't be tough times and tough seasons. So don't look at where you are, let that define you. And I think that was the word this morning. Don't let the fact that you feel like you haven't broken through yet define you. Don't let that happen. Continue to ask. Continue to seek God for that. You see, if we increase our income, well, we increase our spending. The other thing I think about wise spending is set some accountability partners in place. You know, have someone that you actually talk to about that and do that. And, you know, it says God will make all sufficiency abound. Like, I think if we do it God's way, we release God's spirit, or we release the supernatural into the natural. See, God has put things in place that, you know, there are patterns, there are things that will flow. And sometimes we think, oh, we're just waiting for God to come and do this incredible thing. You know, a lot of what, he's so good, and he's intimately involved in all our lives, and he understands it all, but he is so smart beyond what we could ever imagine that he's put patterns in place that just work.
Yeah.
They just work. They're designed to work because they're created by God, who is all-knowing, all-sufficient, beyond anything else, and they will work. Someone that's not godly can actually come and engage in these patterns, and it will work. So, let's wrap all this up. Stewarding. The first belongs to God. Don't muck around with that. Let's just try it and test it and find out. You know, that's the thing. And let's bring that into his house. And as a pastor, as a senior pastor, you know, here in Hobart, here in the Derwent Valley, and Dan will echo this to our service tonight, it's not the easiest to say, hey, I think your tithe needs to come into the house in which you're planted. Well, I'm going to stand here this morning and unapologetically and unequivocally say, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe it. But energizing, you know, they're doing this, or they could reduce their staff, or they could do that. Maybe we could. But it's not yours, it's God's, and he'll deal with those that are making the decisions on that. Seeding. Seeding creates harvest. If you want harvest in your life, well, you've got to find ways of sowing the seeds. Giving into those things. Hey, band, if you want to join me, we're going to wrap up in a sec. Saving empowers generations. Spending. We love spending. Here's the thing. When you live within your means, it secures everyday peace.
Wow.
I'm not talking about not taking risks. I'm not talking about... It's what you choose to... You know, debt... There's not a problem with debt per se. It's when that debt is invested into depreciating assets. That's the difference, I think, between good debt and bad debt.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about not taking risks and finding ways to create a future. We've got to do that. But, you know, what if we work with that spending component, that 70%, and we predetermine whatever that actually is for us to get to, it can actually bring a huge peace. Because you're not, you know what, we actually limit God, because I've walked around for huge parts of my life with big amounts of financial stress on. Those of us that have been in business know what that's about, and you know, some of that's just part of it, but sometimes it's because we haven't actually enacted the right principles too. And it's a pressure that's always there. It doesn't go away. You know what? And you go to sit and open your mind up and before God, and you want the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. You want to have time to spend with Him, and What are you thinking about? You're thinking about that financial pressure. You're thinking about that weight. You want to spend some time really listening to your partner or being engaged with your family or being there or being present in the moment. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about that financial weight. And if we can actually start to work these principles, there is a freedom that comes to our world and our life that means beyond even the money side of it, you know, that you, when you're with people, you can be present, you can be there. You can be generous, you can respond, you can be just like, hey, I've got time to listen to you, I'm not all wound up inside. And I know there are other things than the money that do this, but it's a big factor. We can live with peace. It's up there, is it? Get the book. Paul teaches it better than me. And by the way, it is actually, I found it much more challenging working through someone else's material than just doing my own stuff. Because you've got to, and I unapologetically, anything I say and have said, I believe in, and I've had to get my own revelation about it. I wouldn't bring it if I didn't have that. And the same with Dan. He did very well with our part on the tithing. But as we finish here, Derwent Valley, choose what you do here. You can stay with us. I've got a word for all of us. Or if you're running short of time, you can jump out now, but that's okay. I was reflecting on the journey a lot of us have been on this year. I was reflecting on that song, Katie, that was written at the start of this year. I was reflecting on this real God time when Corey Turner brought this word that was so on song for where we've been as a church and where we're going, and even decisions that we've made as God's challenged us on that, and as a team, decisions we've made at going forward on that, and we're determined about that, and we're stepping into breakthrough. But it hasn't been like smooth sailing. It hasn't been just easy. What we've actually had is as people have tried to do that, you know, different people on the team have felt like they've had all hell break loose in their lives in different ways. For Alex and I, as we felt to lead the church on that journey, what we perhaps didn't expect was the journey that God would lead us on personally, and the revelation and some of the breakthroughs that we've had in our world. That wasn't our heart even behind it. We wanted to see breakthrough as a church, but God sort of showed us that he wanted to lead us through some things so that it could flow out of us and it could flow through the church. And Katie's word and what Grant says was, you know what, you know, your breakthrough, those things that you're believing for, sometimes you can get to this part of the year and you can think, oh gee, it hasn't happened, what about? And I feel more strongly than ever about where we're going as a church. I believe there is huge breakthrough coming for people personally, for us as a church. I feel like if we can get hold of this stuff, there will be financial breakthrough for us as a church. There will be financial breakthrough personally. I believe that there will be, you know what, a generation of entrepreneurs raised up. There will be a generation of business people and great professionals. There'll be all sorts of things that are here. There will be more services planted. And sometimes you can look and you think, wow, there's not as many people in church as there were at one stage. Well, you know what? We've got people meeting in the Derwent Valley. We've got a night service on. And God's shown a pattern that, you know what? We can actually keep replicating that. We can actually see this city covered in all sorts of ways. We're not going to stop where we are. We're not finished. But I think it is right now time to stand up and say, we're going to break through. 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 Because God is not dead. His word prevails. It will last forever. What he has spoken will not return void. And I want us to get His words on our lips and start to speak them into our city, into our families, into our church, into our relationships, into our situations, into our businesses. Hey, let's speak God's word into other people's businesses. Let's speak God's word into our government, into our departments. Let's speak His word into our future. And we touched on this morning. In Ezekiel, it says, "Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message and these dry bones will come to life." Dry bones, listen to me. Hey, put your words on that. Financial future, listen to me. Government department that I'm working in that I'm frustrated with, listen to me. Whatever it is, business, listen to me. Family, listen to me. Relationships, listen to me. And they're not listening to you. They're listening to the word of God coming out of your mouth. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you. I'm going to make you live again. I'll put flesh on your muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he has said, and suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh covered over the bones, and then skin formed to cover the bodies, but there was still no breath in them. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the four winds, son of man, a prophetic message, and say this, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these bodies so that they may live again. Come on, come on, let's start to speak it. Let's start to speak it. Let's start to speak it. Let's start to speak it out. Hey, what is dead in your life? Let's start to speak into it. What is it that you've nearly given up on? Let's start to speak into it. What is it that you're struggling with? Let's start to speak into it. Can it live? Can it live? Can bones come together? Can muscle form back on it? Can skin come over that thing? Can that was disconnected form into a body and go forward and bodies come together and form a mighty army and start to march into their divine calling for what God has called them? Come on. Speak it. Speak it. Four winds. If I'm not careful, I'm going to miss my ferry. Come on, let's walk out of here today with the word of God on our lips. Let's walk out of here today with not just information, but revelation. Hey, get the book. I just think if we can take this finance thing on, that we're going to unlock so many other areas of our world. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get some accountability partners. Let's talk to someone about what we're doing. Let's share some of the journey. Let's share some of the good stories. Let's get into this, and let's start to prophesy and speak life into our future. Breakthrough is there. Hey, Dave, I just believe there's a huge breakthrough for you. Very soon. I just encourage you to be speaking into that. Where there's perhaps I feel like there's perhaps a sense where you've been carrying something strongly, and it's just like it's like every time you go to speak it, it's like I wish I could, I wish it would come out, but it's just like that. Just start to speak it out. By yourself, allow the Spirit of God just to start to move. I just think there are some things that are going to change and happen. And you know, God wants to take you on a journey of your faith, of your faith being made so much stronger. I'm not determining where it is or where it's at, but I just know that He wants to strengthen that. He's going to show you some things about what He can do. and use you and your testimony to bring life and encouragement and release other people. I just think there's something about you in the next season about releasing other people. As you start to speak those words, there will be other people released into their kingdom purposes as you go forward.